And thank you. At this time, the call is now being recorded.
Okay, so this is Ken. I sent out an email literally this morning, I think it was, in which I attached the project charter document that we've been working with IT. Did you get a copy of that, Chris?
No, I didn't, actually. That's right, yes. No, I've got the email. I must admit I only just glanced at it and I didn't notice the document was attached, yes.
If you've got a half a second, we could just pop it open real quick. We're not going to go through and read it in any detail. I don't think there's any point, but, you know, just give you a sense of what... I've got to find it myself.
Where does this overlap with the original charter that we had?
Well, I think you could probably find some overlap, yeah.
Well, it's a naive question, but I'm sort of asking it anyway. Because we sort of had a charter, didn't we?
Let me see if I can try to explain that. So, the communications team is sponsored by and chartered by the Operations Steering Committee. Okay?
Right, yes.
Our little sub-team of three, so Steve, you, and me, are focusing on one of the tasks assigned by the OSC to the entire group. That particular task that deals with the website also is sponsored and owned by the IT infrastructure within ICANN. And they have a set of procedures that they want to be exercised in any technology matters. And one of the steps includes writing a project charter for any such work that's going to be done by the IT staff. So here we are. We've got a foot in both ponds.
Right.
We have a foot in the OSC pond, and we have a foot in the ICANN staff pond. And so as a result, we end up with two charters. Now,
is this charter for our subgroup?
Yes.
Overlap with the IT, or is it for the whole group?
No, it's really just for our sub-team. It has to do with the website project.
Right.
So this charter document that I sent out this morning is really just the IT version of what will inform the work that we do that also goes up to the OSC.
Right.
And it's because IT wants to follow a protocol for project development that includes starting with a project charter and then going through development tasks, building requirements and all that. And so in essence, we have two charters. I don't think that they conflict in any serious way, right? But we end up with two of them.
Right. Okay.
Does that help?
Good. So that's what we're tabling now, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically what the IT folks are saying is with respect to the website project, which they're calling the GNSO systems replacement, you can see there's an overview section, which I wrote most of this stuff from other documents that Julie and I and others have worked on for a long time, and just built up the sections, which discusses the background and the GNSO, not the GNSO, but the BGC report and various and sundry things that occurred. There's the current situation is probably a good one to look at if you have time, we just sort of wrote what's wrong with the existing website.
Right.
And then
hello.
Then she added some strategic alignment sections and some other things that they want, like organizational drivers and so forth and so on. Anyway, the point is that this document now is getting pretty close to being finished. And there's some steps that need to occur, like getting this document approved, and we can. But in the meantime, we've already been started, so it's not not a big deal, really.
Good. Okay. So back to what we're doing. Should we take stock of what our little team's doing?
Right. Okay. That's a terrific lead-in. So I volunteered on the last sub-team call to do the some heavy lifting, as it were, on the building a requirements document. And I have made zero progress on that.
Right. Have you seen the document that I sent through with the annotations on the Penelope document?
Let me see. I think I do remember getting that.
I don't know whether... I got some of my people to go through the Penelope document.
Right.
If you haven't got it, I can easily resend
it. Just, do you remember the date it was sent?
Yes, it was a week ago. But there's the other call. They gave a team call. Wednesday...
29th? Yeah, I got it. Yep, I have it. It's, yeah, it says I consulted with two of my technical people who have Drupal experience.
And in each of the little boxes, in red, they've quickly added or what their thoughts on whether Drupal can do that meet that requirement.
Say, Chris, I don't mean to interrupt, but this is Julie. Would you mind sending that to me as well? I'd be interested to see it.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Let me...
Yeah, actually, after the Penelope document was submitted to ICANN, David Conrad engaged an outside consultant to do exactly what your group just did. They went through every one of the 160 requirements and put a column in a spreadsheet that said Drupal does or doesn't satisfy that requirement. So I don't remember if I sent that spreadsheet around to you guys early on.
There was a spreadsheet with certainly priorities or...
Yeah, there was one version, and I'm not sure if it was the one I sent. There were two versions of that spreadsheet.
Right.
One of them that came back from the consultant. In fact, you know what? I probably didn't send it around because it was a PDF, not an Excel spreadsheet. That PDF document actually did map all of the Drupal. Well, at least according to this Drupal expert, he took all 160 requirements and indicated whether Drupal supported them.
Well, it's just a guide. It's just, it's not particularly scientific.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are sort of question marks, and yes, we're not sure, and where they've just been honest and said, I don't know, we just said, I don't know, rather than spend hours
struggling with it.
But I just thought it might...
Anyway, yeah, I've got that open now. And let me see what the second one is. Functions in admin area. Let me look at that one real quick. I don't think I opened these up the first time when they came through.
The other one... Let me explain the other one.
Okay.
On our conversation 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Drupal functionality. That's right. We looked at the Drupal website, didn't we? And we looked at some of the functionality. And we were looking at the specification page. Now, what that list is in a... demonstration in a demo site that we recently did. We did a Drupal install with all the standard functions, and then we downloaded some additional modules and put those in as well. They were all standard modules. They weren't wasn't any programming that we wrote. It was either the standard Drupal install
or plus
other functional modules that were available either from the Drupal site or from third parties open source.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually went in the admin area and cut and pasted that out. So it's just the headings or the buttons in the admin area of what could be available. So it's just a sort of a guide really. It's just perhaps a slightly longer list than the one we were looking at yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But none of those things are rocket science. They're all quite achievable.
Right. So this could be a nice, remember we talked about the functional hierarchy to the requirements document that Penelope and I built the last time, which was that colorful three-tiered model.
Yes.
We could do something a whole lot simpler this time around and maybe follow these headings, which would have to do with content management, user management, reporting, and site building. Those are four nice categories in which we could tag or briefly describe all of the requirements we have for phase one. So that turns out to be, it looks like a nice simplified way to organize the requirements versus that rather elaborate structure that we had before, which had, as you remember, it had a portal, it had platform services, and then I think shared services, and then application layer on the top.
Yes. I think the more you dig into that document, the more you do appreciate what you were saying about the coming out of the sanitized SharePoint, which I didn't appreciate at all when I first read it, nor the second or third time, but the fourth or fifth, you start to see it more and more and more, don't you?
Well, yeah, not being a Drupal or a SharePoint expert, it's hard for me to pick that stuff up, but I am aware that there are lots of things in life that you can telegraph your bias just by the words you choose. And so, you know, in the case of SharePoint, it may turn out that words like portal services or, you know, there might just be some key phrases and the way that things are expressed that to anybody in that field would say, oh, that's clearly SharePoint, right? The Drupal person, right, who really knew Drupal real well, that David Conrad hired, that was his first comment. He said, oh, well, this was written for a SharePoint solution.
Yeah.
And so it was real obvious to him because he didn't recognize language that exists in the Drupal infrastructure, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so, anyway.
Yeah.
So it may be
a help. That was the idea of it, really. So you can... You can be forewarned as you cut and paste out of the Penelope document of whether those things are going to be easy for Mark and his team to do early on or not, I think.
Yeah. So here's the rub is like what we were supposed to have our draft requirements done by the end of May, right? Am I right about that?
The 27th of the
okay. It's even earlier than the end of May. And it is now, what, the 6th? So between now and the 27th of May, we have to get a set of requirements written if we want to keep to that original schedule.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, what's the best way to get that done? You know,
it's a cut and pasting, isn't it?
Well, part of it, I think, yeah. I mean,
it's just
time, and I think I sort of know what to do. If I had a block of time, I could get this thing into sort of a draft form, shoot it to you and Steve, and then the three of us could swarm on it and finish it. I just have not had a block of time to do it. I, every time I start, I get reprioritized onto something else. And but it's clearly on my list. I know I need to work on it, and I know that I actually believe that I will get a block of time between now and not too long from now where that's done, where I can get that done.
Good.
So it seems to me that the sort of monkey is on my shoulders at this point.
I can't see any other way around it because I don't think I could start it. I don't think I've got the experience, if you like, with these documents.
Well, you know, as volunteers in this effort, you guys all have other important jobs you have to do. I mean, I am full-time working with ICANN, so... Yeah, I don't mind doing it. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to it, to be honest. It's just that, you know, I have other serious papers that are due, and as we approach a board meeting, then, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that Julie knows, too. And then I've got another team I'm supporting, which just had a call 2 hours before this one, and I've got to write the minutes up for that, which is another task I've got to do today. and I've got another big paper due tomorrow. But I think next week I'm going to just block some time out and say I need 2 days to do nothing but comm team requirements work. And hopefully I can do that. It's just that there's a board meeting coming up in May also. And we've got a bunch of analytical documents to prepare for the board, too. So
right, okay.
That's my problem. I'll talk to my mentor here, Rob Hogarth, and I'll see if we can figure out how to get some time for me to do that.
Right, okay. And if you get stuck or can't get, then, well, you can bring it up next week, I suppose, at the meeting, and we can decide where to go, or we have another, I don't know, or come back to me, or just give me a call, and I'll see what I can do.
Fair enough.
You know, one way or the other. It may be the structure. I think once we've got the structure, it won't be so bad, will it?
I'm a huge believer in that. For me, the most important thing when I start any project is to build a structure for it. Then I could just fill in the. But I have a tough time starting any project in the absence of structure. And that's why I think this little document you just created is a good way to start. It helps to say, okay, these are all the things we want to flush out. Then we just have to go find language that fits into these different buckets, and hopefully that will give us our first draft.
Good.
Okay.
Julie, have you got the copy of that now? I emailed it through.
Yes, I did. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Great. Okay, good. Good. Ken, the other thing was... you were going to speak to Mark and some people. I haven't got quite the notes from your last heads up, and check that something was going to be all right. And if it was, then this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, we did have that session, and I tried to summarize that. I think what I wrote was. They're generally okay with it.
They're okay, are they?
Some of the feedback, though, was, well, you know, we really don't want you to go to the Drupal site and write the requirements from Drupal. They understand the practicality of it. It just doesn't sit right, theoretically, with people when you say that. They want you to go off into a tower somewhere, you know, and hopefully built of ivory, and say, you know, in a perfect world, this is what I'd like to have. But that's where the theory and the practice simply collide, because what most people don't have the depth and background and experience to be able to create a document like that. Most of us, if we want to buy something, we go look. I just bought a brand new laptop, you know. So what I do, I go out and I search the internet for all the, and I look at reviews and I look at features and all this kind of stuff. I definitely wanted a tablet PC, so right away I segregated out all of the units out there that weren't tablets. And the point is, I had a set of requirements, but some of what I learned was through the act of looking at real examples of tablet PCs. And then I finally made a choice and bought it. And so they understand that. They do. And so I think what we're going to do is fine. They just said, you know, to the extent you can, try not to use Drupal language and try to write it more as a general business requirement and less as a technology requirement.
One other thing that is, in my mind anyway, hovering about is the thing that I call information architecture. And I think, was it yourself or Steve was calling it the taxonomy? Taxonomy, no?
Yeah, taxonomy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To do with, because actually it was asked, wasn't it, at last week's call, all the headings and what are we going to specify it? And we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and we said, well, that's actually more of an implementation issue,
right?
Which is technically correct, but it's interesting that people seem to focus on that. Everybody asks about it because they see it as quite important. So
it's hugely important in terms of actually building a real website. You know, the first thing you have to confront is what goes on page one.
Yes.
So the requirements, I think, help you pick a solution set that contains the features and functions that you want in your design and in your website. And that's sort of step one. Step one is to say, okay, it'd be nice if we could just say, we're going to use Drupal. Now let's just pick from the feature set. But that's not the way the official IT protocol would have you do it. They would have you start with, well, here's what we need to have. Here are the requirements that we have for our business. And then they go off and say, oh, based on these requirements, Drupal looks like a good fit. And then we pick Drupal. Then we go into the next phase, which is, okay, let's build a website using Drupal and satisfying these requirements. So there might be 25 features and functions in Drupal, but if our requirements only specified 12 of them, the only ones we would start building are the 12. The next step, of course, is, okay, what goes on page one of the website? And now you're right smack into the question of taxonomy. You've got to decide what topics, what words, what symbols are you going to put on page one. And then you get page one done, and you say, okay, now I need page two, page three, page four, et cetera. So, yeah.
See, I was wondering whether I should, over the next week, while you're doing the heavy lifting, whether I should think about that a little bit.
That would be terrific.
Because I don't think, although it is implementation, I don't think we're going to get away from it. It's going to keep hitting us, I think.
Well,
everyone's going to ask, and Mark's going to want some guidance, or you have to make his own decision.
As soon as we finish writing the requirements, the next thing that we're going to encounter is the taxonomy. And so what you're suggesting is, this is a nice triage approach. Right, I'll work on the writing of the requirements, and why don't you jump ahead one step and actually start thinking about and maybe putting some thoughts together on the taxonomy. That would be terrific. That would be very helpful and useful.
Good. So you
and
don't
I think
think
it would
that's
jump
not a waste
our
of
next,
time.
Our next
good.
Step.
Okay.
Just a couple of thoughts.
If I can get something down on paper, at least we can all build on it, and it gets us going, doesn't it?
Sure. So you have some things to look at, right? You have the GNSO site itself.
Obviously.
And then Mark had put together a prototype. You have that.
I can look at what the other ICANN sites are doing as well.
That's right. ICANN.org, and then there's that the one that the one that ALAC at large uses, atlarge.icann.org. And then, of course, you have yours, right, Andalucia and other sites that are well designed and pleasing to look at, are not too cluttered. Maybe some concept will occur to you in looking at all that says the GNSO site ought to have this at the top and this along the left and this over on the right, and that would be a nice thing to get started with.
Yes, and look at some of the work. Or I don't know if anybody's done any sort of recommendations as such, but there are sort of norms that people are sort of following under the name of usability about where menus should be, or the main headings in one place, or which you've got across the top, and then certain items that are sort of a little bit on the side, they should be down the bottom or on the top right or something like that. So I think there are sort of conventions or ideas of good usability on the internet.
Yeah, I agree.
And we should just see what the state of the art is, maybe, and see how that dovetails with what we would otherwise do on this project.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I did hear on one of the calls that I had with the ICANN staff that they were going to ask for budget, or they thought they were definitely going to get approval for ICANN to hire a usability expert to actually work with us and to guide this particular effort.
Right.
So while you're putting your thoughts together, which I think is still an excellent idea, maybe we'll actually have a usability expert to work with.
Yeah,
in some period of time here shortly, where it would actually make sense.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
All right, and so what I'll do then is I'll use email to you and Steve, and I'll copy Julie and Rob, and just let you know what my schedules look like and when I think I can get something done, and But I recognize it's a priority. I wanted to have it done before today's call, and just couldn't get it done.
Never mind. Good. Okay, then. Well, I think that's probably about it, then, isn't it?
I think so. Unless Julie's got something.
No, it sounds like you guys have it taken care of.
I only wish. I wish it were done, but... All right, well, thank you very much.
Is everybody here coming to Sydney, by the way?
I'll send something out, a quick note just to Steve, and let him know that Julie, you don't have to write up any minutes or anything.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessary. Yeah. There's only 2 points to make, and I'll just make them in an email and send them to Steve, copy you guys.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, your notes are always great on these calls.
All right, well, I appreciate that.
Plus, we'll have the transcript.
Oh, boy. This one rambled a bit. You're right, we will have a transcript, I'm sure.
Thank you. I think, Chris, you asked if we were going to Sydney. Well,
yes.
We are. Are you?
Yes, yes.
Wonderful.
That's great.
That'll be good also.
All right, I don't know how to signal the operator to stop the recording.
Is Glenn on the call? No?
He normally drops off.
Yeah, operator, maybe
you do something with the phone and signal him or something, I don't know.
I'll ask the operator to stop, shall I?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay, operator, can you stop the recording, please?
Yes, one moment.
Thank you.
How do you do, is there some toggle switch or something?